Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm back.
And it's time to get classy.
Yay! What was that for?
I had a girl on here last week.
You did. And I think Chastity's a little jealous that there's another girl on the podcast.
Another girl on the podcast?
Yeah. So we're going to have her back on soon.
Okay.
To make up for it. Not that we complain about ever having Chastity on, because it's always a fun time on the podcast.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. I had, you know, family time. And then this week almost didn't happen because, you know, it was one of those weeks where me and Joel's schedules just did not like each other.
The exact opposite.
Yeah. And then I didn't tell Joel this, but it almost didn't happen again because I locked myself out of my apartment about an hour ago.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Because my house keys, I take them off my key ring whenever I go running, so I can just have that in my little arm sleeve thing.
And you did.
And I forgot to put it back on my main key ring when I left to get some dinner.
Ah.
But luckily, the front office people let me back in. So.
Okay.
Crisis averted, guys. Obviously, we're able to
obviously,
podcast.
Obviously, the podcast is happening. You're listening to it.
I got quite a few, if we may touch on last week's episode a little
bit.
Since
I wasn't here. You weren't here. You got some things you need to...
I was going to, like, take notes, but then I got lazy.
Okay.
First of all, love the podcast. It was very, very much fun. I enjoyed it as a listener this time around. I, along with four other people who have publicly stated that we should refer to Ziggler as that ramen-haired guy that Joel's in love with. Specifically that.
That was the takeaway from last week.
Yeah. The one thing that just made me chuckle the most was that it took you 35-40 minutes to finally say that the term face came from baby face. Because you first said, it's like, I don't know where it came from. They just call him face. There's the good guys. Because you were trying to explain to her what face and heel mean. Because heel was self-explanatory. Face, she didn't know. And you're like, I don't know where it comes from. And then, like, the entire podcast goes by. I'm yelling at my computer. And then finally you're like, oh, yeah, it comes from babyface, from good guy. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just easier.
I know. And that was, like, another time where I yelled at my computer because you didn't know how old RVD was. But then I was like, why would he know that?
Why would I know that?
But then again, if anyone would know useless stuff, it would be you.
I don't know. You have a weird finger on the pulse of how old wrestlers are. I
have an idea. I don't know exactly, but I get curious whenever, like part-timers or something come back, so I'll check back whenever they show up. Because I get curious about stuff like that.
Right. I mean, that's just something where I'm like, do forever. And you're like, nope, he's like 28. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, I can't wait to WrestleMania 40 when The Undertaker does this. And you're like, no, that's not going to happen because of age.
Because he'll be 64. So, or something along those lines.
I don't know. John Cena is perpetually 30.
Well, no. John Cena is perpetually 33 because the first time we ever looked up his age, we were like, wow. John Cena, he can do no wrong. He's like the WWE's Jesus Christ. Hey, his initials are JC, and I looked up and I saw what age he was, and he was 33. I was like, oh my God! Oh dear Lord! So for me, he's always going to be
33. He's always 33.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's always 78.
Even though he's not even 78 himself.
Doesn't matter.
He's a perpetually old guy.
Undertaker's always 40. Undertaker's always just beyond prime, but he can still totally go.
Right, and same with Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels
is perpetually 40.
Because even when he came back, he seemed like he was older.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So.
I don't know what else from last week.
I very much, like...
You did call Rusev's finisher the camel clutch, which it is, but he technically calls it something else.
Whatever.
He calls it the accolade.
Whatever.
It doesn't make it any less dumb, and I'm so glad that... Heather is like eye to eye with me on that.
I think you've drilled camel clutch into my head.
I know.
Like, I mean, I was terrified. Like, usually if I'll say something like dumb or wrong or just like from a time period that I missed or from just like me interpreting something wrong, you'll be here to be like, actually, no, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And like about 10 minutes in, I was like, Heather won't do that. My word is law right now.
So you're like, basically you can say that, you know, John Cena and Rey Mysterio had a pillow fight on Raw a couple months ago, and she would totally be down. Like, she's like, okay, that sounds like something
she would happen. But see, like, I didn't have this, like, rush of, like, I have unlimited power here. I was just, like, I was terrified because I was gonna be like, here's, like, lay down authority. John Cena has been champion 46 times. And she'd be like, okay, I believe that, because of course you believe it,
basically. And then people online would like, be like,
that's not true. And I was like, aw. I didn't have Chris here to be that, like, safety net.
I feel like I have a purpose now. Thank you. You do. I feel so much better than myself. You do.
I feel like there's like just that balance of like, if one of us doesn't know it, maybe the other one will.
Right. And if neither one of us knows it, we'll just move on.
Exactly. Well, we also have those things. I'm like, what was that one thing where like where Sheamus won on that pay-per-view? Yeah. And we can like puzzle out. I'm like, Heather, remember that one thing? Like, nope. She's like, no.
Did it happen less than a year ago? No. Then I have no idea.
Like the random sporadic things that she saw. If she was looking up at that time.
So, it seems like she liked this past Money in the Bank a lot more than she did originally.
Yes, she did.
I feel, partially because I feel like the Money in the Bank matches were probably a little bit better.
Yes.
Or at least better organized.
Yes, they were better organized.
And maybe she kind of knows a little bit more about it.
She knows a little bit more. There's a little bit...
I don't want to say she appreciates it more, but... No. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
No.
She understands
a little more. She has, you know, oh, that guy did a cool thing last time. I wonder if he'll do a cool thing this time. Right. Let's watch.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Where, no, they didn't have that. There's also probably a little bit of, like, you know, Stockholm Syndrome.
Right.
Where you're like, all right, I'm into this. I'm going to enjoy wrestling.
Also, the Fandango questioning Dolph's sexuality.
Yeah.
Bit. Because, again... We just know Fandango's going to come out, and he's going to dance, he's going to, you know, shake his butt a little bit, and you know, that's what he does. To the casual viewer, I had no idea that you could take it that way. Like, we see it every week.
That's
so.
The thing. Yeah, I think I, like, harped on this too much last week, but I couldn't get it. They didn't recap that? Like, I just assumed that they had.
Because they recap everything.
And, like, how did WWE miss an opportunity to recap a story?
I'm pretty sure they
it's their most favorite thing.
I'm pretty sure back when it happened, they probably recapped Michael Cole getting knighted by the quote-unquote queen.
They did.
See?
They did. They recapped the knighting of Michael Cole.
There you go. So the fact that they... Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to highlight that, technically, Fandango gave JBL a table dance. JBL's face during that was the best. That was the one thing I wish you guys talked a little bit more about, was JBL selling him getting a table dance and him acting like it was just the worst thing in the world.
I like JBL.
I love JBL so much.
He's fun.
But yeah, like to the you know, someone who watches it every week, you know, that never crossed my mind because. Partially, Fandango's always over whatever, you know, female is on his arm at the time.
Yeah.
And then even beyond that, we had Dirty Curdy, who just creeped on women.
Mm-hmm.
Or creeped on everyone, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, that was last week.
Although, my favorite tweet that I think I made when that happened, when I know it was this past week, when the girls started dancing with each other. And I was like, quick, Fandango, make up Jaws, make out with Ziggler. That's the only way to just go full tilt on this whole storyline.
I don't care. I'm holding tight to this storyline.
Because it's, you know,
Ziggler.
Ziggler, and he has a chance to win this one.
Yes.
And it's a storyline. Ziggler has not really been in the storyline.
I know. I'll take anything. But this is begging for scraps, and I know it, right. And I don't even care. I just...
Maybe he needs to take the Cody Rhodes route and just do whatever. Maybe the debut of Zig Dust.
Imminent.
Why not? Make it a 3-man group. They're popular these days. Looks so well.
Well, until two of them leave.
Until Shell kind of went kaput. That's another story.
Mm.
But it's okay. We can talk about that because all three guys are doing very well for themselves.
Yes.
So it's not depressing.
Okay.
Right?
Not depressing.
A couple of notes that we probably should touch on before we jump into...
Let's dump right in.
First off, the big news was Japanese superstar wrestler Kenta has signed officially with WWE during a live show in Osaka. technically was signed by Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited about this. I'm a very recent recent fan of Kenta. Like, I've very recently started watching some of his matches. There's one, I think it's 2006 against Daniel Bryan, that is amazing. I need to get into his Ring of Honor stuff. I'm so stoked about this, and I can't. First of all, I'm more stoked than anything to see him go to NXT,
mm-hmm.
because we get to see him pull out these long, you know, well-designed matches right out the gate. You know, we won't have as many restraints as he would on the main show. That's why, it's one of the main reasons why I'm glad he's going to NXT first, so we can really showcase what he's got, and he can get, you know, more of the WWE fans behind him before they move him on up.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts. You know, and, you know, it's been reported by a bunch of people that, you know, he's a move innovator. You know, he's the one that came up with the GTS that CM Punk used. He's the one that came up with the flying knee that Daniel Bryan does. You know,
yeah.
He's just gonna have to find new moves, which, you know, that's the common joke with it. But he's not gonna have any problem finding new moves. Like, the guy is, he's just a move generator.
Yeah. I hope really good things for it. Obviously, with something like this, I'm nervous that it's WWE going, it's popular and I want it, and right. Got money, go.
Right, right.
Without really a plan.
And really,
especially with Yoshi leaving, so, like, right. Oh, you didn't have anything for... I mean, obviously, they're two different people and two different beasts, but, you know...
Mm-hmm.
But the going to NXT mm-hmm. really helps, like, to that, because... Right. All the, you know, NXT and Triple H mm-hmm. has more of a finger in that, and, like, I don't know, it does cushion my worry a lot that's the route that is being taken.
And
right now
that, you know, we can deem the original Sin Cara a failure, and we can look back and see exactly what happened with that,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they're learning a lot from the mistake that they made, because really, like, that's the only comparison to this type of situation. Sin Cara was a huge star. They acknowledged it right out the gate. They signed him. They changed his name. They did all this stuff. And they just kind of learn from the mistakes that they made. Like, Sin Cara really didn't want to be in NXT for very long, and he wasn't for very long. He refused to learn English from what we understand, and just was just an all-out jerk to people. We're already seeing a significant difference now. Like, Kenta, he's excited to come to NXT. He's already stated a few times that he's excited to really learn English, mm-hmm. and he's, you know... it seems like a big dream of his, whereas Sin Cara was more like, hey, I'm big time, what's up, I'm finally here, you mm-hmm. know, that kind of attitude. So, yeah, getting him accustomed to the way WWE does things, it would be a big step for him, and I'm glad that they seem to be going about it the right way.
Yes.
So, I take encouragement from that.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened during the week, CM Punk, this was the week that his contract was set to retire. And also, WWE moved CM Punk's profile to the alumni section. I don't know if it was on the same day, or it was on the same week. It was the same day that they aired his documentary on the network.
Yeah.
Like, they did it a few hours beforehand. And, you know, a lot of reaction to Twitter happened, and he was trending, and Punk did respond, and it was very, you know, okay, yeah, he's probably gone.
Which means this would be the best time to bring him back, right?
I know.
Never let the dream die, right?
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, I don't know what else we could say about this. Like, we pretty much said all we can about the CM Punk situation. It does seem like, at least now, everyone is cordial. I guess, like, they're not ignoring CM Punk anymore. Like, they actually advertised them airing the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a, they did a preview of the documentary and had that on the front page of WWE.com for most of this week.
Yeah.
So, at least, because that's the one thing that I never really understood. Why, like, when a guy started becoming, butting heads a little bit with people, they automatically just act like he's not there, and automatically list his name as a dirty word. Mm-hmm. You know? It's something I never understood. Because the guy was just here. He was just a huge part of your product.
Yeah.
It would be completely unrealistic to just expect him to just drop off and no one notice.
Yeah.
You know? I'm
still gonna, you know, I can't help but sit into the next Rumble waiting for Punk's music. I can't help it.
I
don't think anybody else can. So, no. But yeah, it's you know, the kind of thing where it's like, I still fully believe that he will set foot in a ring again.
Yeah.
I don't know when, you know, mm-hmm. but try hard not to think about it, I guess. So I can be excited when he comes out, so I don't have to say, about time, Punk, and, you know. Excited.
Yeah, and like I was telling Joel before we started, like, you know, just because of all this happening, it's kind of got me in this mindset. I went back on the network, and I basically started watching every pay-per-view he's ever been on, starting with the first one, and I've worked myself up to his second World Heavyweight Championship reign. And, yeah, I'm you really start to notice some things from between then and his later stuff. You really start to notice, like, wow, his injuries and stuff was really taking a toll on him, because you could notice, like, he didn't seem as flexible as he used to be,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I know nothing about that stuff.
Yeah.
Know? And if I can notice it, something like that, I'm pretty sure anyone else could.
Yeah. We also need to mention that, stuff is trickling out about the game. Sting.
Yeah.
Will be in the game, and Sting will actually be...
If it was a pre-ordered, content, two different.
There's a two different eras of Sting.
Yeah,
which, you know, maybe that's like some. There might be some WCW content in the game. You know, we don't know anything about what the storyline part of the game will be or anything like that.
Right.
But that's an option.
Yeah.
Also,
it would be different if they did some more WCW stuff.
Yeah. Also, just the fact that, you know, Sting is there. There is starting to be acknowledgement of Sting on WWE, on more main WWE product, you know? He's shown up on the website several times and stuff.
And then, you know, Tuesday afternoon, they posted another one of those interview segments with Triple H where Michael Cole just flat out asks him, you know, will we ever see Sting in a WWE ring? And Triple H was basically like, well, people said that. He's like, there was a few things that people said, and it would never happen whenever I first started this job. One of them was like, Ultimate Warrior would never be in the Hall of Fame. I forgot what the other
Bruno
one was.
Bruno
Sammartino would never associate with the WWE ever again. And he said Sting would never be in the WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's like, never say never kind of a thing. So, yep. You know, I have a feeling like it's going to happen. More like Sting did an interview where he still expressed interest in having a match with Undertaker at WrestleMania 31, which would be good, because I don't want WrestleMania 30 to be the last match for Undertaker.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, it would be fitting that, you know, the one that he lost
he
would be
the last. He goes until he loses. Yeah.
Right. That would make sense, but I don't know. That still left a bad taste in my mouth. Not because he lost, but just the way the match happened with, you know, the unfortunate injuries that happened early in the match, and they just kind of had to go through the entire match like that. You know, you wanted something better than that for Undertaker. And I know you can't really control that, but I don't know. I would like to see.
But do you bring Sting in to lose one match and go back up to the rafters?
I don't know. That I honestly don't know. But it would be one of those, like, ultimate matches that we never thought we would see.
Exactly.
You know. Or at least one that we would, you know, predict we would see every year for the past 5 years.
Well, man, that's also... Here's the thing, and I think I've mentioned this before. There was, like, a match on TNA 2009, and it was Hogan versus Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, yes! WrestleMania 8, finally!
Right.
And it was sad.
Well, yeah, because it was 2009 and not WrestleMania 8.
Yes.
Which I don't know what year that was. Like 1994, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know.
When it should have happened.
But that's when it should have happened. And it was so, like... And so, yeah, Undertaker versus Sting should have happened 10 years ago.
Mm.
It
would
have been amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And because those guys both still work very, you know, staggered schedules. No week-to-week for any of them. So
right.
There's no reason those two guys still could not put on a fantastic match.
No, absolutely.
But it has to be a fantastic match. Like, a good match won't cut it at this point, because it's Undertaker and Sting.
Right.
So it has to be, it has to bring the house down.
Yeah, and I just did quick math. WrestleMania, it was in 1992, not 1994. Okay. I stand corrected, and I am shamefaced.
But, well, you stood corrected by yourself, so well, good for you.
Well, yeah, and again, we've established many times I'm bad at math.
Yes.
So it takes me a while.
Yes.
So yeah, I don't know, it's, like, I want him to come back, and I want this match to happen if they both feel like they can do it.
It'll happen. Like I mean, you know, there's like a, I don't know if it will be Sting and Undertaker at WrestleMania, because it's too early to start writing WrestleMania 31 in all seriousness, but, like, I see no real reason that Sting won't.
Right. And again, if this is going to be the only match and possibly the last match for both of them, they're going to go all out and we're going to see a pretty epic spectacle, knowing those guys.
Well, that's, like, if Sting was the kind of guy who, like, you know, Sting knows he's the last holdout. Like, that's the one, you know, thing in the little collection of I got everybody that he's WWE still doesn't have.
He's the golden snitch.
Yeah. So, Sting knows that, but Sting never struck me as, like, a curmudgeon about that.
No, not at all. It was one of those, like, the attitude I get from it was that it just something that just never happened. Like, it was just something, like, the pieces just didn't fall in line for him to come over like that. Not so much because he just outright refused. I mean, there might have been some times where he did refuse, but, like, the past few years or so, it's more like the stars just didn't align just right.
Right.
You know? Now we're getting to a point where, all right, they're aligning a little bit better, so maybe we could check this out.
Yeah. So, we shall see.
Fingers crossed. I feel like, if this is probably the closest they'll ever get to it this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've always talked in the past few years, okay, well, this is where the Sting rumors come back, and, you know, clearly with the video game now and everything, you know.
We'll see. That's nothing. It'll happen or it won't.
Yeah, because it was one of those things, like, what was it? WWE 13, I believe? Was the first one that they brought back Brock Lesnar on, and this was like 3-4 months before he even showed up. Yeah. You know? So it could be an indicator like that, you know, because they basically was like, oh yeah, this is just, you know, Undertaker, or Brock was just like, oh yeah, it would be nice to be on the video game, and, you know, all that good old stuff. But, you know, nothing was talked about as far as in-ring stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was like, because the video game stuff was announced, and then the UFC retirement was announced.
Right. Yeah.
And then
And again, it could have been something that was they were in the works for, because, well, we know now that they were talking about it, you know, whenever he finished up with UFC. Mm-hmm. It just happened a lot sooner than probably anyone was expecting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Shall we dive into Battleground, or dump into Battleground, as I put it?
Yeah, dump into Battleground. I'm trying to remember if there's anything else to touch on. Oh, we need to touch on this because I forgot to touch on it last week.
Okay.
Santino has also retired.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot about that.
We totally forgot to touch on it last week. I even made Heather watch the Santino Tea Party segment so she would have some frame of reference to talk about Santino.
Best thing Santino has ever done was that Tea Party. Mm-hmm. That, and just because he had Kozlov. His reaction to everything was great. Yeah.
So,
best thing that either of those guys have done, because like I said, I'm watching like these old matches with CM Punk, and like a lot of them are like Royal Rumbles and stuff like that, which had Vladimir Kozlov, and there was some stuff that, like, yeah, he's big and he's powerful, but noticing a lot more botches than I used to.
Yeah,
not so much botches, just like, okay, that was not a
that's no good
good move. Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know, kind of came out of the blue because Santino is not in a lot of risk in his, you know?
No.
But, I mean, but if he wants to retire, whatever. And
and, you know, it's more because of medical reasons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't fault a guy for that. And I'm assuming they're going to have him back in some sort of non-wrestling capacity, I'm sure.
I think.
You could argue the last few years of he's been back in a non-wrestling capacity.
Ever since his, like, genuine run in the Elimination Chamber.
Right. And yeah, he's had plenty of moments to really shine.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, for a comedy act, he lasted a long time.
Yeah.
And he's pretty successful at it. You know, the Cobra thing makes me roll my eyes all the time.
Well, I mean, he's the baton can be handed to, you know, Adam Rose and honestly Damian Sandow now.
Or, like, Emma.
Yeah, I don't know about Emma. I don't know.
She's got the female snake.
I don't. That will probably be wiped under a rug.
Which she never probably stole. Huh?
No.
No?
No. Let's dump into Battleground right now.
No larceny jokes. Fine. Let's dump into Battleground. We start off with this super exciting kickoff show that everyone's going to be tuning in for. Cameron versus Naomi.
Okay.
Funk is no longer on the roll.
Here's the thing. Okay, so do you remember when Brodus Clay actually came back? What year was that? Because I remember the Mamas for WrestleMania 28.
It was that year.
That was the first WrestleMania.
It was January.
Because he was still Del Rio's heavy for 27.
Yeah.
So it was somewhere around.
It was January 2012.
Okay.
And so that WrestleMania thing was like a few months out later.
So effectively, these people have been a tag team for 2 years and are now breaking up. If this was a male match, this would be the main event.
Well, Primetime was together for a long time. Then they broke up, and they were like middle of the card strap match.
Oh, yeah, they were a strap match. Yeah, exactly. I just watched that match recently. Yeah,
I don't know why, but you did.
I was watching that pay-per-view, and it was on there.
Right.
I didn't seek out the Crime Time strap match.
It depends on...
I mean, it obviously does depend on the thing.
How over the tag team is.
Yeah, I am being hyperbolic to make a point.
Right.
But it's just... And he's like, it's my fault. I'm not interested in this. Whatever. It's also Cameron's fault. because that's the reason I'm not interested.
Well, yeah, and we really don't like Cameron.
So...
Although, I will give her credit... She, on Twitter after Raw, I forgot what the tag team was. It was, she was tagging with, Alicia Fox. She was tagging with Alicia Fox against, Naomi and someone else. And on Twitter, Cameron was like, you know what? If Melina was on the other team, this would be my favorite match ever. I was like, she referenced it! Brilliant!
Well done.
So, that's the one good thing she's done. Unfortunately, she can't do that on Raw all the time. So, therefore, this is awful.
But here's the thing. You know, yeah, I'll blame Cameron and I'll blame that. But, like, it is a breakup of a tag team. That is a classical thing to build up and works every time.
Yeah.
Virgil got a WrestleMania match out of this exact same storyline.
Right.
You know, it's never, it's just, it feels squandered.
But Cameron, on the kickoff. Cameron is no Virgil.
Some in-ring work seems to be, I'm not excited about
it. Honestly, like, if Cameron wasn't so, I don't know if annoying is the right word, but if she was able to get over better as a heel, maybe this would be on the main show. But
no, I mean, in all honesty, if you want to dump all of this on Cameron and her inability to carry this story, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, you know, Naomi's downfall might be mic work.
No, what I'm looking forward to most about this match is Naomi can be in singles matches now.
Yeah, I
can see her being stuff.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Absolutely. Like, that's easily the best thing to happen, to come out of this, is that we're going to see more Naomi singles matches. Maybe we get to finally do away with somebody call your mama.
Yeah.
Because it just seems awkward now.
It seems awkward.
Brodus's, but then it was Xavier Woods for a while, but now it's not. Now it's theirs. Mm. Now Brodus Clay's got fired, and Tensai's, you know, Jason Albert on NXT. It just seems awkward now, even though the song wasn't Brodus's to begin with.
Yeah, but it was Brodus. It's like, no, not technically. There's a little, you know, tribute nugget.
Yeah.
But it was Brodus's, and they're kind of weakened at Burn Eating It.
Yeah. Or weakened at Sheamus.
Weakened at Sheamus's? I haven't thought about that in years.
And by years, I mean like a few months ago, because I like to bring it up every now and
then. The last time you talked about it.
There you go.
All right, I mean, what are you going to
do? Naomi.
Two, maybe? One and a half?
I'm going to go with a solid one.
One? All right, fair enough. I can't even fight you about
that. Naomi's going to win.
Naomi's going to win.
Clearly.
Calling out Naomi.
We'll start with the main show. We got Jack Swagger versus Rusev in a singles match.
I don't know who's going to win this.
I don't either. And that's the surprising thing. Like, if you think, when they first started teasing this, I was thinking, okay, this is weird because, you know, Swag, like, there's no way in the world Zeb Coulter could be a face. no way in the world. And there's no way in the world that Jack Spire could even come close to beating Rusev, given the way that they're booking him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a couple weeks ago happened, and holy crap, I should never have underestimated Zeb Coulter.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, that guy is magic on the mic.
Mm-hmm. So, but what's more important now? Is Rusev's dominant climb to the top?
Depends on how much they're feeling the Swagger face turn. If we're going off momentum, Swagger might win this. Because they got a hell of a crowd reaction this past night.
They did.
And they even, I think, from what I understand, they put off the shirt, the new shirt, until the face turn like really got momentum.
The arm?
Yeah, because they debuted it at Money in the Bank, but it never went on sale.
Right.
And then now they're on sale this week. So I felt like that was good timing. Like, they took off the, what they did is they took off the We the People on the back and just put, like, this big, white, drawn-in American flag on the back. Looks pretty awesome, to be honest with you. Like, if there's, because they do a lot of, pre-show WWE.com sales. If there's a sale this Monday night, I might end up getting it.
Getting a Jack Swagger shirt?
Because they took off the We the People. I thought I was going to get it with the We the People thing on the back, because Tea Party. And I do not want at all to be associated with those lovely human beings. But now that it's just got the flag on it like that, and it's a really cool design.
I know. But please, like, just imagine going back in time.
One year
and telling Chris of a year ago, I'm going to buy a Jack Swagger t-shirt.
And I would make all of the It's Swaggy Time jokes as need be.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can honestly see them going either way here. Like,
right.
I think the smart thing to do is book Rusev to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that, I'm going to predict Rusev's winning, because I think this will give him major heat that he was a genuine monster build.
Right.
There. As you know, Skippy D awesome as I am on Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter right now.
Right.
Jack Swagger has let me down too many times on a climb to the top.
No, absolutely.
And it will feel like, and I would predict if Swagger wins, it's a squandered win for a flash in the pan cheer.
Right.
That will ruin the Rusev streak for nothing.
Right. No, like, let's not forget, Swagger broke Ziggler last year. And yeah. Swagger broke Wade Barrett a couple months ago.
Yeah, I'm so mad at Swagger. I'm mad again.
Yeah, ooh. Exactly. I'm sorry I brought that up. But I'm sorry to put a damper on, you know, everyone finally being kind of okay with Jack Swagger. It just feels weird to see a face Jack Swagger. I'm still going to get the shirt because it's a cool shirt. Not so much because it's Jack Swagger, but I like the shirt.
All right.
You know what? I kind of agree with you, but I... I debated this in my head a lot longer than I would have
cared to admit.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Rusev. Crowd reaction is going to be hot for this. Match could be good. I'm going to give it 3 stars just to be on the safe side. It's three mats.
I mean, I'll give it 3 to 3.5, but probably 2 of those belong to the crowd.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I am so enjoying the reactions to this more than actually.
Right, and you know, that's a good, like, a third of what makes a great match is the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're both going to go Rusev on that. Next up, we'll go with the Intercontinental Championship Battle Royal 20-man. I don't know.
I mean, you got 20 to pick from.
Yeah.
It's one of those where, like, pick, as long as you don't pick Kali or Slater, you got, you know, you got about an even chance on all
Watch
of them.
Watch this, the beginning of the big Heath Slater face turn. He's going to be the next John Cena, starting with this match here this night.
So you're picking Heath Slater, can't no take backsies?
No.
No take backsies.
Honestly, I'm going to go with, honestly, it comes down to who actually is doing something right now and who actually is in a feud.
Mm-hmm.
The easy pick would be Cesaro, but he's kind of been on a downswing and it's...
You made a pun.
What?
You talked about Cesaro and said swing.
Completely unintentional. Okay. I'm sorry for that, because that was icky. Cesaro, people don't, or the people behind the scenes don't seem to be as high on him as they should be, or as they have been.
As they were once.
Right, and seemingly they're taking Paul Heyman off of him, because Brock is, in the...
Yeah, I was like, honestly, like, yeah, okay. Like, I'm not upset about that, because never...
No, and I'm fine with it, because something about that just didn't click. So I'm not terribly, upset about it. I think what happened with that is they missed an opportunity to turn Cesaro full face. You know? But instead, they wanted the big pop the night after WrestleMania of him turning into a Heyman guy. Which was a great moment.
And a great crowd to do it on.
Right.
But then they were stuck with... A heel manager and a face.
Right. And Cesaro is just now going full heel.
Mm-hmm.
Just now. Cesaro would be the easy pick. Honestly, I feel like it comes to the people who are actually having a feud right now, and that's Ziggler and Fandango.
Are you going to pick one of them?
I feel like I am. What about you?
Which one are you going to give? Gut reaction, Dolph Ziggler. I'm always going to pick Dolph Ziggler because I want Dolph Ziggler.
Right. But that's more because of he's the ramen-haired guy that you're in love with.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, I'm debating just, picking Dolph Ziggler on account of I will always pick Dolph Ziggler and stand by your man.
Right.
Or the other option is, for me, is The Miz, because he just came back.
He's got this new
character. And that's why I am going to actually pick The Miz as my final pick.
Okay.
He's got a character that they want to try out. I think that, the WWE is still raring to give Miz a real thing. Why are you squinting so hard at me?
Are they really, are people,
people or the WWE in the back?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, people in general are, really clamoring for this new Miz run, and I'm like...
No.
Eh, okay.
No.
That's why I was squinting at you, because I was like, what?
No, I'm not saying...
You're saying, the people pulling the strings seem to still willing to give Miz a chance.
They see something in Miz, Miz is getting another... It feels like Miz is getting another chance.
I know what they see in the Miz. They're seeing a guy who's willing to do the early radio shows every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to... It's natural to want to reward that, and he should be rewarded.
Well, he should be rewarded that. It's also nice to see somebody, on the morning talk shows carrying a title.
True.
So, but I won't blame you if you picked Dolph Ziggler. And I won't even be mad if I get it wrong and you get it right if you picked Dolph Ziggler.
How would you feel if I said Fandango?
And you can pick Fandango if you want.
Yeah, I feel more strongly about Ziggler. Yeah, I'm going to go with Ziggler, and then my backup for no extra points, Fandango.
Fandango. Ziggler's my backup for no extra points.
Okay. It's a 20-man battle royal. Kofi's in it, so it's going to be at least 4.5 maps.
This is going to be fun, you guys.
Right, it's going to be fun. They are really falling in love with battle royals these days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them lately.
As always, what I would really like is for Zack Ryder to have a moment.
Yeah.
This is really a thing, test the waters. Can Zack Ryder still pull a pop out of the crowd like he once could?
Mm-hmm.
Have
him maybe come down to the final four or maybe even final two.
Yeah.
Just to see what the crowd would do for him.
Yeah.
You don't have to have him win.
Don't have him win because then you got a title suck on him. But yeah, just this is the way to test that, I feel. Yeah.
I would like to see them do something with Xavier Woods. He's got a great personality, and I feel like he would be someone that could take a character and really run with it if they gave him something. Now, they're teasing Big E and Kofi teaming up. And then afterwards, WWE, reposted an Instagram that they did, and it's, the two of them also teaming with Xavier and, behind, backstage. I mean, I would be, and then it gives more fuel to the rumor of maybe a Nation of Domination, part two.
Yeah.
Which again, I'd be okay with because they would be tempted to bring back Ron Simmons for something.
Yeah.
And
that's always okay.
I'm always okay with him coming out and saying more than just "damn." I love him saying "damn" because "damn."
Mm-hmm.
But I would like more because I love that dude.
I like Ron Simmons.
I don't know if I've said enough on this podcast, Shawn Michaels is my ultimate favorite wrestler of all time, ever. right below that was always Farouk. I don't know why.
Alright.
But I was just always entertained like crazy by that guy. Even when he was wearing that dumb blue helmet.
Alright.
I love the crap out of Rod Simmons. Yeah. Let's see. So yeah, you're going with Miz. I'm going to go with Ziggler.
I love Miz. I will be so okay if Ziggler wins. I'll still probably cheer for Ziggler. You get the point. I don't even care.
Bro, yeah. Like, yeah. Let our predictions fall where they may, but mm-hmm. whatever. Next we have Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins in a singles match. This probably should have happened last month, but they needed bodies for Money in the Bank, and I'm glad that they did because, you know, those guys.
Because that Money in the Bank match happened. And that Money in the Bank.
It was, and those two were easily the highlight of that match. So I'm expecting, you know. I'm expecting the world in this match because of who's involved and what they can do. And I'm ready for Dean not to get his butt kicked every week.
Yeah.
Because that's been the theme, you know. He just gets jumped backstage or something. Or gets, you know, gets a gang attack or something in the ring or whatever.
This is my match of the night prediction.
Right.
Nah,
I can't argue with it, yeah.
Who do you want to pick to win it?
I don't know, that's the difficult part, you know. It depends on the type of heel that they want Rollins to be. They want him to be, like, the next big thing or whatever. Yeah, have him win. Or if you want him to be, you know, the guy who won the Money in the Bank on a kind of a fluke note, then, which he kind of did with the whole Kane thing, then you would have Dean win. And I feel like that's probably the more likely move for them at this point. Not saying that Seth Rollins is a fluke wrestler or anything like that, because he's amazing. And I'm not thrilled about it, because I hate it when, because it seems like every heel is like that. Like, every heel is not that good. Mm-hmm. They just know how to get away with stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Except for Brock Lesnar.
He's the, he'll dominate, and he'll dominate clean.
Yep.
Because I was, like I said, I was watching old CM Punk stuff, and yeah, when he was holding the briefcase, he lost most of his matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he didn't really win a whole lot of matches whenever he, was the World Heavyweight Champion. I don't know. I think I'm gonna go with Dean.
You're gonna go with Dean? I'm gonna go with Seth. Just because I really feel like they're going to have him come out with the briefcase at the end of the main event match anyway.
Right.
So you got to have him win so he's not a beaten, battered pulp to come out to do that.
So you think he's going to cash it in tonight?
No, but I think he's going to come out and tease it. Okay. And so they want him to be... And I think Dean's probably going to come back out and stop him.
Oh, okay.
And so they can continue this feud.
Right.
And I can see that happening, you know... The storyline is, you know, if you have Dean win and Seth come out, then you have a beaten Seth come out and a victorious Dean come out and beat him down some more.
Right.
Which is okay, but if you have Seth win, you have Seth come out, a victorious Seth come out, and then you have Never Give Up Dean come out anyway, even though he just got beat.
Right.
So, also, Seth Rollins can have shenanigans on his side, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that's more like Dean won't have shenanigans on his side.
No.
So, yeah.
But, you know, my thinking is, you know, everything's been so tilted. It's the John Cena theory. Like, you know when John Cena's going to win, and he's going to win big, when the entire month leading up to it, everything goes against him. You know, he loses everything, and he just has a really bad month. That's kind of how I feel about Dean Ambrose. He did kind of get his face kicked in a few times this month.
All right. Fair enough.
So that's my thing.
Again, could go either way. Yeah. It's going to be a great match either way.
Great match.
You guys have a good time.
I want to be more selective with the stuff I give 5 maths to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give this 4.75.
Okay.
Just to be on the safe side.
All right.
Let's move on to the Divas Championship match, AJ versus Paige. I'm stoked this is happening because I love both of them very much.
Yes.
And
I am stoked that this is happening on a pay-per-view. It's not just a little fluky, you know, surprise. Kind of like, they've had 2 matches and they've both been little goof matches on Raw.
Right. I don't know. I like how big of a deal they make it for when AJ came back.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and the Divas Championship, like, it's like they're actually trying.
Yes.
You know? And a part of that has to do with, you know, a lot of people love AJ for, you know, the right reasons, fine, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And then they really seem to be, you know, responding to Paige. Okay. She might be turning heel, so it'll be a different response, but they're responding.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all you can ask for. I still think AJ's going to win this.
I pick AJ for the purely selfish reason that the more that if AJ's champion, she has to stay on the show. If she's on the show,
there's more keeping her on.
She can't be with CM Punk.
And basically, you're using AJ as bait.
As bait.
So her husband will come back, and the only way to keep her here, apparently, is to have the championship around her waist.
No, I think she came back to come back, and that, but it's less risky if Fair she enough. Still has the championship.
There's more reason for her to stay if she has.
Well, the championship. And here's the thing: I would be thrilled for Paige to be champion. This isn't like, you know, AJ versus Cameron, where
right.
you know,
you're just thinking big picture.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is like. I would be fine with either of these people winning. I think they're both, you know, potential winners, and I think that, you know, it could go either way.
Right.
So the tipping point is CM Punk's more likely to come back to see one of them.
Right.
So if this was AJ Lee versus
what
Cameron,
a swerve would it be if it was to see Paige?
But no, if it was
KFAB 3.0, people.
If it was AJ versus Cameron, it would be all in AJ's favor. It would not be. Yeah. This is my sole reason for saying this.
Right.
I mean, it just happens that she's going up against Paige, and I'm thrilled about this match, and it's going to be a great match.
Right.
But I mean,
like, it's going to be one of those matches where Beardsley's going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and you will not hear a single word out of either of us because we both very, very much enjoy both ladies in this match. Him more so, Paige.
But see, I didn't vote with my heart in the Battle Royale, so I'm voting with my heart for the rest of this card.
Okay. You know what? Considering how big of a Ziggler mark you are, I can understand it.
Yeah.
Because that's a big deal that you didn't pick Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
That you went with logic.
Yep.
Interesting. Alright, I'll give it 4 maths.
Fair.
We'll move on to the Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho singles match. Kind of surprised that they're going ahead with it now and not waiting for SummerSlam. But I can easily see this carry on to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, my pure vote with it with my heart, Chris needs to win.
Yeah. You know, and this becomes a question of what's the outcome that's more likely to cause this to continue beyond this mm-hmm. night. You know, Bray, we've seen in the past, just because he loses a match doesn't mean he's done with that feud. We saw that with John Cena. Like, he could lose every match, but it seemed like he didn't lose momentum or any, you know, he just kept going. I will say that, you know, after John Cena, Money in the Bank, he kind of took a step back as far as momentum-wise, but you can't be that hot all the time.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much what I was expecting. Now I'm expecting this feud with Chris Jericho to put him, you know, right back, you know, in the driver's seat of all this. But ultimately, yeah.
But honestly, it's like Chris Jericho comes back to lose now. And I need that to stop.
Yeah.
You pushed that, you know, red hot button one too many times.
Yeah.
So I need Chris Jericho to win something, and Bray can take it. Not a problem. And like, there's a comic of Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt backstage, and Chris Jericho's like, "Don't you worry about it. You're working with Chris Jericho now. This is how the major push has happened." And in the background, there's Dolph Ziggler and Fandango being like, "We have a match on Raw. We have a match with Divas in it. We might get to be on Total Divas. We're so excited."
Fandango was on Total Divas.
Yes.
He's prominent on Total Divas.
But that says a lot about how they use Chris Jericho now. Because the last two people Chris Jericho came to put over were Fandango and Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
And
right. Didn't work out so well.
Yeah. So,
and Bray fought John Cena at WrestleMania. Like, he can take a loss, and it will not be a bump in the road.
No, not
there, at all. He is not a risky, you know, hot streak that you don't want to disrupt. He is fine.
Yeah.
So,
you're going to say Jericho.
I say Jericho should win, and since I'm voting with my heart for the rest of the day, Chris Jericho.
Okay, I'm going to go with logic and say Bray Wyatt.
Fair enough.
Because Chris Jericho loses matches. Sorry, guys. You know, I love Chris Jericho just as much as the next guy. Unless the next guy is Chris Jericho. but I just, you know...
No, that's... If I were voting any other way, I would pick Bray Wyatt. Well, of course, if I was voting any other, there's two options.
Right.
But you know what I mean? No, the logical choice is Bray Wyatt because, you know, the past has shown us.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho loses matches.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Bray. I'll go four maths.
All right.
I don't feel like this is going to be their best match. I feel like they're going to save that for SummerSlam.
All right.
Because that would be the big... It's also going to be the big one-year anniversary since Bray started.
Yeah.
You know. So I feel like they're, you know... I'm not going to say they're going to go all out for that, but I don't know. They might... find a new gear for SummerSlam. Just because this is a big show. Next, I didn't even know that this stipulation was happening, but apparently there's a 2 out of 3 falls tag team match for the tag team championships versus the Usos and the Wyatts.
Okie dokie.
I mean, sure. And, you know, these guys are going to have great matches because they haven't failed us yet against each other. But you're running the risk of overexposure at this point. Like, yes. You know, it was like the... maybe not even a year ago, and then all the years before that, was, you know, nothing but Kofi versus Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or nothing but Kofi versus Miz.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe give Goldstar a chance?
Maybe.
You have a super interesting tag team, like, waiting in the wings.
Unless they're saving that for SummerSlam. I'm assuming they'll probably have Goldstar on for a match at some point tonight.
Yeah, it's like, you believe that SummerSlam's going to be a big deal, sir, and you're...
They try.
I know, but, like, every match, you're like, but they're going to save it for SummerSlam.
Honestly, like, I feel like they're saving some stuff for SummerSlam because they need something that isn't Daniel Bryan. They need... Because Daniel Bryan was the reason that show was so huge. Now, yeah, Brock versus CM Punk was amazing. It was match of the year, at least for me.
I don't remember what I picked.
You know, they need something of that caliber. Now, we kind of assume that we're going to get Brock. We're assuming that's what Plan C is.
Mm-hmm.
What Paul Heyman was talking about. So we already got that. Now we need everything else.
Yes.
You know, maybe Triple H is going to get involved some way in SummerSlam. Like, I don't think there's a SummerSlam that's gone by where he hasn't had some hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
As a referee or something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Why not have Gold Star be in SummerSlam? Their logo is a giant star anyway for SummerSlam. So,
fair enough.
Bam. Bam. All easy right. Marketing right there.
So, Usos and Wyatt, who are you picking? It's for the championship, if that matters.
Yeah. You know what? I say Wyatt's winning here.
All right. I'll go Wyatt's, too. Just because it could go either way, and...
Going with your heart again? Or you just, you know, don't feel that strongly about either?
I don't feel that strong. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not invested in the tag team championship. These are two great people, or two great teams.
Yeah.
They put on great matches together a lot. But there's not really a feud here, you know? They're just two other teams. The Wyatt family's kind of twiddling their thumbs while Bray goes off and has the story.
They're starting feuding because the Usos kept coming to John Cena's aid.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of started from there. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like you feel like the Wyatt guys are going to get the championships at some point. You might as well go ahead and make it now
It's kind of just this thing where, like, they've done nothing wrong. They employ 80 wrestlers. Right. So, you know, sometimes things get lost in the shuffle and it's unfortunate. It kind of feels like this has.
Right. But, well, yeah, like we said, we didn't even know that was a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea.
So,
but again, we don't watch SmackDown, so there's that. Or Main Event, or Superstars, or whenever they announce this.
Whenever it was announced.
Yeah. And now we move on to the Fatal 4-Way match for the world, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns.
My heart says Roman Reigns, because I love Roman Reigns.
Well, yeah.
But I have to pick John Cena, because they accidentally aired a promo for John Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the championship too early.
But even if they hadn't, it still would have been obvious.
It would have been obvious, but if I was voting fully on with my heart, I would go Roman Reigns. Right. Like I said, I've been doing this whole time.
Right.
But I can't this time.
Yeah, because
they went ahead and told me the answer.
Because the evidence is so clear that that's not going to happen. And I feel like, honestly, because I was just saying that, you know, we're probably going to get some sort of Triple H interaction for SummerSlam. Feel like Roman Reigns versus Triple H is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's what we're going to get. I have a feeling we're probably going to get Kane and Roman Reigns, because they love putting Kane in everything now. Mm-hmm. Even though he can't buy a win.
Yeah.
I'm John Cena. I am glad that they did kind of make this a fatal four-way, because if it was just Cena and Kane, or just Cena and Orton...
Again.
I would have been mad. They wouldn't have done Cena versus Roman Reigns, because face versus face at a pay-per-view. What are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah. Unless it's WrestleMania.
Unless it's WrestleMania, because, you know, that's when people really care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's John Cena. It's going to be a decent match, because Fatal 4-Way. I'll give it 3.5 maths.
Sure. I'm excited to see how it ends. I'm excited if, you know... What they're going to do at the ending to go into Monday. Monday's going to be much more exciting for this storyline than Sunday is.
Right.
It's the kind of thing where, twiddling thumbs and waiting.
Yeah.
For SummerSlam for this one. Because we know what's going to happen.
Right. No, yeah.
And here's the thing. At another time, WWE would have, scrapped it, a different story, because you can't know what's going to happen. That's the worst thing.
Yeah.
But we watched the molasses pace of Twice in a Lifetime develop over 6 months.
Yeah.
So, it depends on what kind of mindset WWE is in right now. If they are like, we have this story and we're doing it to the end... Or if they change this.
Right.
I mean, they also made Batista win the Royal Rumble, even though that wasn't what people wanted.
Right. Yeah. And again, we feel like, they telegraphed it a little bit because, word got out that Batista was coming back. So, by the time it actually happened, people were kind of, over.
The excitement of Batista coming back.
It was overshadowed by Daniel Bryan not being in the match at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still feel bad about that, for Batista.
Like, I feel terrible for Batista.
I really, really hope people kind of embrace him whenever he comes back.
I am...
I will cheer for Batista.
Yes.
When he comes back. Like, that DVD that they put out just made me feel so sad about it.
Yeah.
Because you could tell he was legitimately, kind of, not full-on, heartbroken, his entire world collapsed or anything like that. But, you could tell he was a little disappointed that the crowd reaction wasn't great. And he's a professional, so he embraced it and went heel with it. But you could tell that he was, a little bummed by it. So I felt bad. And I was like, I'm sorry, Batista, please come back. I'll cheer you, I promise. Just, stay away from Daniel Bryan.
I mean, that's the thing, though. There's another universe out there where that didn't leak and, just what could have happened?
Alternate universe Batista. He probably looks a lot like Drax the Destroyer.
Yep. Exactly.
So that's pretty much Battleground. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I'm pretty much good
now. That's right, it's time for the mail sack! Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. And so we have, this comes in from at Chris Allcroft, our our UK fan that loves to talk about Wade Barrett, and he's obviously very, you know, disappointed at the recent events surrounding Wade Barrett. He says, after what Swagger did to Dolph, then to Wade, how does he still have a job?
Honestly, because Kurt Angle was a big hit.
He was.
Like, honestly, like, and that's, you know, that's going beyond the, like, oh, Swagger's just Kurt Angle, the end joke. Like, WWE sees a success, and they try and, that's why Rusev is here, is because right. Iron Sheik was a big thing.
Right.
So, they honestly, I think.
He is literally, like, the combination of Iron Sheik and who was his, tag team partner from Russia.
Volkov.
Volkov, yeah. He's literally, like, both of those put together.
Yeah. So, but that's, honestly, that's what I think. I think Kurt Angle, this all-American superhero kind of guy.
Yeah.
It's a big hit, and so.
Right, and obviously they're not going to give up on him right now because this is the hottest he's ever been in his career. Ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, I think Hawcroft sent this before that happened, but still.
But also, just to touch on Wade Barrett, so my favorite thing that Bad News Barrett did, and I think everybody's favorite thing they did, was stand on a podium and bang a gavel.
Well, yeah.
Can he not do that anymore?
I don't know which arm is turning. I don't know what
the way is he not least ambidextrous in gavel banging? Like, Punk was injured, and he went to commentary, and that's right. Where I truly fell in love with Punk. Like,
right.
Was on the commentary. Like,
I mean, yeah, maybe they're waiting for him. Maybe he's, you know, waiting until he recovers from whatever procedure was done.
I mean, I don't...
Maybe.
Like, yeah, I would be thrilled to see him back in the ring, but you had all kinds of, you know, reaction to Bad News Barrett.
Right.
And most of that reaction was to him not in the ring, so I feel like there was no real reason to take him off TV, except for, like, literally, like, the surgery and, you know, a couple days after recovery time.
Right.
Like, even if he's not ring ready, I still feel like he can be plenty TV ready.
Yeah, I'm holding on to hope that we'll get a Bad News Barrett segment at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Saving it all for SummerSlam.
You are. You think SummerSlam's, like, 9 hours long, don't you?
Maybe that's what the title of this episode should be. It's not Preview Battleground. It's, wait, save everything for SummerSlam.
Pretty much.
Because let's be honest, everyone forgot Battleground was happening.
Yeah.
Everyone. Like, I totally did not even dawn on me that Battleground was this Sunday until, like, halfway through Raw. And this is with them reminding me every 5 minutes that Battleground is this Sunday.
Yeah, no replays of storylines last week.
It's weird to have a pay-per-view between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam.
It is. This is the first time they've done that since Money in the Bank existed.
And Battleground was such a forgettable pay-per-view last year.
Well, it's such a generic name. You know, Sacrifice and Battleground and Backlash. It's
Payback.
And, yeah, intense one-word things.
Bragging rights or Breaking Point.
I mean, yeah, so it's whatever.
No way out.
Well, some of those had gimmicks. Like, Bragging Rights had a gimmick until the brand split became the status, not actually a brand split ever.
Breaking Point could have been a gimmick. Could have been Submission Night.
Could have been, but it wasn't.
I think you only had one, I think. Mm-hmm. And so. Now it will forever be the name for whatever submission move you're doing on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Point. It uses the same logo and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. They don't like to waste. And moving on, Sideshow Bob sent us an email, and he was, you know, so there's another Will Here, Won't He article concerning Angle in WWE, odds of this happening and matches that would be worth anticipating. It sounds like Angle, like, you know, from the report was that Sideshow Bob's talking about is Kurt Angle turned down the last contract that TNA had offered him. And he has publicly stated that the next contract he signs will be his last, whether it be TNA or WWE. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the fact that he turned down TNA's might, you know, point to him wanting to come back to WWE. Now, if WWE wants him back, it's a whole different thing. Like, he's recovering from you know, from injuries right now.
I think lots of people want to wrestle in WWE, Kurt Angle included, I'm sure.
I am a fat 26-year-old in North Carolina who would love to wrestle for WWE just to be on TV and say that I did it.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, calling me every 5 minutes to sign me. So he's also has, yo, I don't know, DUI after DUI after DUI. Like,
but honestly, though, here's the thing. You know, it's like matches that could be worth anticipating. 3 weeks ago, I would have said, Kurt Angle comes back and goes, Swagger, you're not being an American right. Here's how you be an American.
American off.
And that would have been the feud.
Maybe that's what it is. They're building Rusev to be a monster. And he's going to be everyone, and then Kurt Angle shows up.
But here's the thing. Like, literally, like, now, as opposed to 3 weeks ago, they can look at their product and be like, we don't need Kurt Angle.
No.
Jack Swagger offers everything Kurt Angle did. Right.
Honestly, like, even if they didn't need Jack Swagger, they don't need Kurt Angle.
I mean,
yeah, Kurt Angle is a great wrestler.
He is.
But, you know.
I mean, I don't think I'm, you know, being shocking and controversial. I'm saying Kurt Angle's a better wrestler than Jack Swagger.
Absolutely. But Kurt Angle also comes with baggage.
So, yeah.
Kurt Angle comes with a lot of baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And
right now, I don't know how much Kurt Angle's returning pop would be bigger than Jack Swagger's current pop.
Right, yeah. Pretty much. Like, it would probably be around that same level of intensity and loudness. You know, and again, like, going back to the whole image thing, like, WWE, like, fired, and yeah, they rehired, but they fired a girl for shoplifting. And yeah, she was basically a nobody in the company yet. But that shows you how important it is to the company that everyone have, you know, a good moral, you know, public appearance.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. WWE would be very, is probably really weighing their odds.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why they haven't brought China back for anything, for any, like, Hall of Fame appearances or anything like that. They're not really that fond of bringing a porn star onto their programming.
Yeah.
Now, had this been 1998 or even 2002, yeah, they would love to bring, like, Jenna Jameson or something on the show.
That's the thing. It's not...
But not right now.
It's not that time period.
No.
So, and they are, you know, suffering the consequences of having that time period, you know, however...
And yeah, I don't blame WWE for doing that. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to build their stock up again after taking a huge punch in the face, you know? And yeah, China absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for her wrestling career.
Yes.
You know, she won the Intercontinental Championship as a female. Like, no one can say that. No one else can say that. It's not WWE's fault that she decided to do porn.
Yeah.
You know, and WWE's just, they're going to try to save face. And I can't blame WWE for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't blame WWE for kind of, you know, having their reservations about bringing Angle back.
Yeah.
You know, granted, DUI is much worse than doing porn, to be honest with you. Because, you know, DUIs can kill people.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, the fact that WWE's not automatically jumping at this is a good thing.
Well, I mean...
yeah, it'll be a good moment. It'll be a good nostalgia thing.
Yeah, it'll be a good nostalgia thing. But, like, you saw the reaction for Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was great. And Rob Van Dam has looked better than he has in years.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot about that. But there was a lot of, like, they didn't really have anything for Rob Van Dam.
No.
But why not go ahead and, you know, pay him a little bit of money, get that pop, get the couple extra people who weren't going to buy Money in the Bank to buy Money in the Bank because Rob Van Dam specifically was going to be on there.
Right.
There was no disadvantage at that point to bring back Rob Van Dam.
No.
If there is for Kurt Angle, they'll drop it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, honestly, like, a lot of people, you know, they always like to point out the problems with WWE and the current product and whatever. And they're always like, oh, it's the roster. The roster's terrible. Dump the entire roster. I don't see how people see that.
Mm-mm.
This is probably one of the better rosters that WWE has ever had.
Yes.
Ever. You know? So to be honest with you, they don't need another nostalgia act.
No.
You know? And yeah, again, Kurt Angle is above and beyond when it comes to ring ability. You know? But they don't need him. They don't need that at all. They got plenty of guys that they can build on their own and then are in the process of building. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to be, you know, put down a rung or two because of a new nostalgia act that's showing up. Now, Chris Jericho coming back is fine. You know, he puts guys over and he, you know, he tries to do what he can to legitimize people. Now, you take it with a grain of salt now because, you know, he loses everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Kurt Angle's going to be willing to lose every match.
So, I feel it's a much longer shot than Rob Van Dam ever was, than, mm-hmm. like, Sting. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised to see Sting on WWE TV before Kurt Angle again.
No, yeah, absolutely. But, just so we can answer the question, you would, like, what would be the match you would look the most forward to if Kurt Angle
did come back? Yeah, 3 weeks ago would have been Angle and Swagger, because this is, you know,
at least that would have been like his, like the first thing that he did when he came back.
That'd have been the clones, man, you know.
Right. Yeah. It was that ECW pay-per-view that they're part of WWE, and basically Stone Cold was in the same ring with Sandman drinking beers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of like, oh hey, who came first? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You fight you fight the one that replaced you, or right. you fight, you know, someone else your own age. So, like, yeah, Rob Van Dam and Kurt Angle, yeah, I've seen it before in a little tiny TNA ring.
Yeah.
Like, let me see it with, you know, spectacle.
Yeah.
But the thing is that there's no story that I'm like, I can't believe I never got to see that Kurt Angle, Kofi Kingston matchup that...
Right.
has plagued me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he was healthy, the clear, you know, favorite would be Kurt Angle and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That would be a great match. Even Kurt Angle and Bray Wyatt, just seeing him mix it up with these younger guys that are coming up. You know, we don't need to see a Triple H and Kurt Angle match, because we've seen that plenty of times beforehand. Mm-hmm. You know. But there are a bunch of matches that they could have that could be pretty great.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, the roster is one of the best that WWE's ever had. So honestly, like if Kurt Angle came back and was there full time, even for a short run every week, the number of matches that he could have with different guys would be worth tuning in.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, yeah, it's just the likeliness I'm not sure of.
It's not something like I'm against. It's not
No, absolutely.
I have no desire to see.
Yeah, it just depends on what certain things is WWE willing to turn a blind eye to.
Yeah. And so, who they're willing to turn a blind eye.
There you go.
For.
If, honestly, I think WWE would bring back Kurt Angle whenever he got healthy.
Yeah.
If anything, like maybe a match or two and then a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like, well, that's one of the things. Like, I think a Hall of Fame slot's almost guaranteed for Kurt
Angle. Absolutely. No, I'm not arguing over that at all. I don't know. The stars have to align,
yeah,
so to speak. So, yeah, that'll do it for the mail sack.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, one of which is this upcoming Sunday, which obviously we'll be doing the late tweets, but
yep.
Tune in, have some fun there.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Best, easiest way to follow us, you click subscribe, you get new episodes every week. If you gave us a rating of
5 stars,
that would be awesome. Write a review, that kind of thing really helps out the podcast.
Absolutely. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!